Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Kevin, tell everyone where we are recording from.
Well, if you can hear an echo right now, it's because we're in a black box. We're in the Black Box Theater at Shetler Studios, and it's we like walked mimes. In. I did not expect this. Usually listeners were in like a nice little studio, and they've got a little window outside, and it's... But this, we're straight up off-Broadway today. This is the off-Broadway Throwback Thursday, my favorite things.
The off-Broadway debut.
There must be 30 chairs behind me, so we could have had people just
hold
like,
on
listening.
One second. You keep talking, Kevin. I'm going to take a picture while
So Rob's going to take a picture of us while we're doing this and post it right now.
And I'm so sorry.
And we're actually recording on a Thursday, which is really fun.
Yeah,
so,
it came a little bit everybody. Late. I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. I'm taking a photo.
I'm smiling now. Hold on a second, guys.
He smiled. He looks great. I'm going
to
post this.
I smile because my mom always likes me to smile with my mouth open. Usually I just smirk. But
she paid for those braces, damn it.
Twice. I had braces twice.
Really?
Yeah.
I never had braces.
Oh, you're lucky.
That's why I look like this. I was trying to stick my teeth out.
That was good. Yeah, he did. It was
can't
it was
stick out. Hey, guess what I saw last night?
What'd you see
last
night?
Not last night. Sorry, the night before last, okay. I should say. Yeah. King Kong.
King Kong, King Kong. King I've Kong? Not seen it yet. I have to tell you that Sutton... Once, she wants to see this so bad.
Yeah,
she keeps saying she's like, I want to see King Kong. I want to see King Kong.
Okay, so I'm going to say this: this puppet is absolutely incredible. They have made it look so beautiful and make it look so realistic and human. It's incredible. He furrows his brow. He has emotions. He's got great comic timing.
Oh yeah.
And like I mentioned on Twitter, I loved his 3-episode arc on The Good Wife a few seasons back.
Wait, what does that mean? I don't watch The Good Wife.
It's just like like the fact like this puppet would like be in a television
thank
show.
Thank you, I love you so much.
Yes.
Sorry.
He's gonna
wow, good job, Kevin.
No, he's gonna play Evan Hansen next week. We're very excited. They're just building a big
cast.
But
you should see the cast, yeah. Wait, so is he that big? I mean,
he's huge.
He is like, he's
just, and it's the Broadway theater,
right,
which
so
is
it's
like
a big house,
a big house.
They have that curtain in the balcony where they close sometimes to cut off the seats.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to speak. I could be totally wrong. So if King Kong folks, if I'm making a mistake, please. Please correct me. I went on Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Tuesday night. I went Tuesday night.
Tuesday and Wednesday nights are always bad when I was in a show. Just the worst.
I don't think anybody was in the balcony, mm-hmm. and I don't think anybody was in the mezzanine because they were sitting people next to me in the orchestra who were in the mezzanine. Okay. So I don't know. Now, I will say this. I had the show is a feast for the eyes and a feast for the senses.
And it's billed as a spectacle, we should say. It's not called an original musical or a broad musical comedy. No. It's a spectacle.
It is a full-on spectacle. The other spectacle, though, was happening next to me.
Oh, no.
Because we had 9 yentas.
No.
And one of their husbands.
Like a ladies' party group.
It was a ladies' party. And they all had that same purple hair. I don't know, like, at what age a woman
they
is
probably
like,
go to the same dresser.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. I don't know, like, it's 63. It's like, everyone has to have purple hair now. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know that color I'm talking about, folks?
I think
the
so.
Violet yes. color. So they all, like, tramp on in, like, they're all trampling on in, right? Mm. And they have, like, their leopard coats on and everything. And one of the only guy turns and he goes, and I swear to you, this is a true conversation. He goes, Julie, why don't you stay over with us tonight? Rebecca and I have an extra room. And Julie got very angry for some reason. I don't know why. And she threw her handbag on the floor and she said, Barry, I told you 5 times I have to start my kiln at 6 a.m. tomorrow. So she does pottery.
6 a.m.
6 a.m. She's up. Well, now,
was
wait a minute.
During the show?
Oh, this was, no, no, before the show, because during the show, Kevin, God, Rob, during the show, I swear, this is all a true
What's
story.
What's with you
I
and your latest theatrical experiences?
I don't know.
And having,
I think
like,
I have bad juju. So the one that they're sitting next to me, and then I swear to you, this is all a true story. During the show, Julie taps the woman in front of her, and at full voice goes, how much do I owe you for the tickets?
No, 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 no.
Full voice.
No.
Full voice. And I'm like, well, and the woman turns around, so I'm like, she's going to say something, and she goes, well, you owe me for this, and you owe me for Mockingbird.
No.
She goes, how much is that? She goes, in total, $140. You can give me a check for $70, and I'll get the other $70. And they're literally, like, a full voice during the show. Then the woman whips out her checkbook and attempts to write a check in the dark. I was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. Followed by, very quickly, I'm sorry.
No,
very I'm sure you know this, that King Kong, the beautiful puppet that is King Kong, is operated by 14 puppeteers dressed in black that actually move its limbs and stuff like that. Well, Barry, oh my God. He never saw anything like it. So Barry's one of those, my favorite type of theater goers. He's one of those, like, actually will, like, tell you what's going to happen before it happens. He's announcing it.
Right,
you know
he's
what
excited
I mean?
To, because he can predict it. He knows.
Yeah.
Like, he's so into it.
Like, somebody on stage has a gun, and he goes, someone's going to get shot.
Captain Obvious to the rescue.
Captain Obvious to the rescue. So so he goes, that's the puppet. Yes, yes, Barry.
Barry. Well done.
You're so smart, Barry. I had no idea that was going to be King Kong.
And during the show, though, so he's just
talking. There's a two-story fucking ape looking at me. Thank you. Oh, I didn't know, Barry. I appreciate it.
There's literally men with strings going up and down like they're in the flies.
Then he wanted everybody to go, that's the puppeteer.
Oh, is that the puppeteer?
Like, and then it was a ripple effect down the row. Like, that's the puppeteer. That's the puppeteer. So I moved to the back during intermission.
You did. You were in the orchestra.
I moved to the back. I was like, this is crazy. So anyway, that was my experience. I've got nothing else to
say.
That's
wild.
I'm trying to think if I saw anything else. I feel like I have. You know, and I think you're on the same game plan as me, a concerted effort.
Yes, concerted.
To try to see everything that's
in the next couple weeks, I'm going to try to see a little bit more. I'm going to get on TDF and get some tickets, I've decided.
And like everything's on TDF, which is a good thing. And then so many closings, though.
The January slaughter is upon us.
Yes,
they've already started announcing that for that first, because that first week in January. The two shows I ever did, that's when we closed, is that first week in January.
Goodbye, Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Once on This Island.
Head Over Heels.
Goodbye, Head Over Heels.
Yeah.
This is sad. I actually liked those shows, so I think it's going to... Well, room for new things to come in.
Exactly.
Hades Town is going to come in.
That's right.
L'Enfantine is open now.
Yeah.
What else is open?
I'm excited. It's going to be... I think the next half of the season is going to be exciting.
That's exciting. I'm excited, too. I got to get my
shows,
tickets.
Though. Boy,
a lot of things are coming in, so let's save up our money.
I binge-watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. We were just talking about before the air, but I have to say, and you must get a kick out of this. I mean, my wife is like... we're just like in it the whole time, but I'm like, there's that Broadway person. There's Carole Carmello. There's Mary Testa. But really, what I love is how they've picked all of these period songs.
Yeah.
Like Redhead. I mean, like we're talking like random stuff. They played the overture to, you know, Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, but not any words. But only you and I would know that. And all of the songs are of that era. Of them were like 1962. And I was like, well, this is 1959, guys. But that's okay. That's all right. I'm not going to be that picky about it. But I'm just so happy that whoever's in charge of the music was digging. Like, we're not talking like the most popular songs of that time. We're talking like the B-side of the second act songs.
It's Amy Sherman Palladino. She's the creator of
right,
and apparently she's a huge musical theater.
It's
fan.
Obvious because who would sing an old show tune as the opening of this piece? You know,
it's really
good. And a show tune that we don't know really.
Yeah.
You know, and I got such a kick out of that every episode has show tunes, and the show tunes are just perfectly placed.
Yeah, I agree.
I get a kick out of that. I think it's fun when our little.
I think the art direction on that show is amazing.
Stunning.
Isn't that good?
We bought a new TV, and so it's got this vivid picture, and that era, the colors, it's just so vibrant.
Yeah.
They turned it up on purpose, but it's I love it. So
I love that show.
I've had a good time riding that wave the last 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I binged it in one day. And then I made my family watch it again with me.
Amazing.
I thought it was so good.
Set up like a movie. It's like the last scene ends, and it's really the next episode. So
they do a really
good
job.
Fantastic. So that's what I've been up to.
That's so exciting. Yeah. That's so exciting. I'm trying to think if I've seen anything else.
And that Hal Prince documentary, Rob, you've got to see the Hal Prince documentary on PBS. Your mentor, Lonnie Price, directed it. You guys, please, just go to 13. Go somewhere. Go down to PBS. I'm sure it's out there. Watch this documentary about Hal Prince and the legacy that he created. I was completely rocked by it. And I thought that the format of it, I thought that the arc of the documentary was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I thought the talking heads that they got, all these amazing people that some we've talked to, some that, you know, we've talked about. And it was just... I was just completely blown away by it.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. Yeah. I have to say, Lonnie Price's theater documentaries are just so damn good.
He is so good. And because he's a part of the business.
Can he just do all of them, please?
I know. And he knows all the people, and they all trust him.
Yeah.
So he gets even better information out of them.
Yeah.
You know? And I just can't wait to watch it again.
I can't wait to watch it for the first time.
Yeah. It's fun.
For the first time. What's that from?
In Forever.
Yeah, what's that from? I don't know.
It's a Disney thing, isn't it?
For the first time.
Yeah, it's like Frozen or something.
Maybe
like,
it is Frozen.
No, I don't know.
Hey, anybody?
Someone's yelling at us right now.
Mickey Mouse is like... First time. Mickey Mouse is very... What's that from? It must be Frozen.
Sounds like a Bobby Lopez. I don't know. I'm embarrassed right now. Give me a Michael John Lacusa melody and I'll tell you exactly what. Giant, I love Giant, but I'm like the most... It's like... God, I'm so embarrassed right now.
I'll sing you a lyric from Tom from Hello Again, and you can get it.
I love that song.
He wears his face. I hear his heart.
I don't think you're a Michael John Lacusa fan.
What?
I don't think you're a Michael. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it, Rob. I don't think you're a Michael John Lacusa fan.
Excuse me.
Have you listened to Wild Party yet?
Excuse me.
Moving on. Favorite things. What's on? Let's go.
I would like to refer you back to a few episodes ago. I think it was even the episode where Tyler Mount came on to talk to us, and I said that one of my favorite shows I ever saw was First Lady Suite at the Public Theater, which was written by Michael John Lacusa.
Okay, all right, okay.
And I like Giant.
Okay, all right, I will accept that.
I have nothing else to say.
But you just let me know.
Why don't we get Michael John Lacusa on the show?
Actually, that's a really great idea because he can talk a lot about his, obviously his writing, but he's been a teacher of musical theater at New York, you know, NYU for the last 15 years.
By your pupils, you are taught.
Thanks, Rob. That was nice.
That's from The King and I.
Oh, okay.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Are you going
to
act it?
I was going to talk. Nice. Hey, we didn't talk about our dinner with Leroy.
You guys.
My dinner with Andre, dinner with Leroy.
We took a little time machine back to an older time. We went back to 1960s Broadway, the Golden Age. We walked into Sardi's.
Yes, we did.
Leroy Reams with a bow tie walked in. We sat at the center table that Leroy always gets to be sat at. And we just talked old school show business. We can't even say some of the things on air that we were told because it was off the record, and we're talking way off the record.
And he was very clear many times that this is off the record.
Yeah, it was a fun evening. It was a really fun evening.
I will just tell you, listener, it was 4 hours. It was us and Robbie Rizal, and the first thing Leroy said when he came into the restaurant, first thing, not hello, but... I'm gonna bleep out the word because did I ever tell you about the time I saw Tallulah Bankhead's woo? It looked like Gabby Hayes.
Yep, that's it. Leroy.
If you don't know who Gabby Hayes is,
or Tallulah Bankhead,
you'll get a kick. But we're gonna have Leroy on for the in memoriam that we do at the end of the year.
Just a couple weeks, and we're gonna do that.
Which we had him on last year, and we'll do it again. So.
Indeed.
Shall we talk about our favorite things?
We can, because my favorite thing has already been talked about at the beginning of this podcast.
Hold on 1 second. I have to drop the mic. The mic has been dropped. Okay,
so dramatic.
We're in a theater.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. We're on stage, actually.
Welcome to the theater. I was going to do Lauren Bacall.
This business we call show.
No, that was on pitch.
Oh, sorry. In this business we call show.
Hurry back. That's a Skip song. We haven't talked about Skip songs in a bit.
But that's a Skip one for me. You know what? Because we were very early on in the podcast talking about that stuff, but I think we can bring it back up again.
Once again, listeners.
Hashtag Skip song, man. We want to know your Skip songs.
Which is, once again, you're listening to a cast recording,
yep.
And all of a sudden there's a song that comes on, and we just
And you just, like, skip it. Every time, like what's it, Blood in the Water comes on Legally Blonde, you're like, nope, I love you, Michael Rupert, and I love you, Larry O'Keefe and Elle Benjamin, but I don't need this song right now. I'm good. Something bad is happening in Oz. I'm okay if I never hear that song again. I love you, Stephen Schwartz. I love Wicked. I love the music. It's great. Skip song. All right. So,
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
My favorite thing is not the show that you mentioned actually earlier that's coming to Broadway. It is how we got this show that's coming to Broadway.
Okay.
I am talking, of course, of Hadestown. I am so excited for this piece, and we talked about this earlier, but I like deliberately didn't want to talk about it to wait till now. But it's coming to the Walter Kerr Theater, which I love the Walter Kerr Theater, and it is this. I think no one's going to know what to do with it. I think it's going to be something that's completely different. It was at the New York Theater Workshop last year, and then the National Theater did it earlier this year. I mean, when does the National Theater come to America and is like, hey, let's do a show that hasn't been on Broadway yet, and let's do it there first? So I'm just completely excited for this. But it is all based on a concept album by a woman named Anais Mitchell, A-N-A-I-S. There's little two dots over the I, Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. And she is this indie folk writer from Vermont. And she released this album in 2010. So 8 years ago, she put out a concept album, much in the style of, like, remember Sting did Last Ship, where he sang the songs.
Yes.
And a couple of the songs on Last Ship are on other albums of Sting's. But you know, he's dabbled in musical theater. The Who's Tommy, they put out a concept album that was just before the musical came. They did sort of Tom Waits. There's an album called Alice that's like a theatrical carnival adventure that is Tom Waits singing all these songs. That's never come to fruition as a show, but he intended that to be. So this is the same sort of deal. This is the Orpheus and Eurydice, story brought into modern times. It's a very much in the style. You can hear that it's very Natasha Peer in The Great Comet of 1812. That's sort of the genre of the world that we're going into, even though I think Hadestown is going to be something completely different. I don't want to talk about the actual production, what's going to be on Broadway. I want to talk about this concept, this recording that Anais Mitchell made. She made it with another group, she made it with Ani DiFranco, plays one of the parts in it. One of my favorite performers. His name is Justin Vernon. He's in an indie group called Bon Iver, B-O-N-I-V-E-R. If you listen to Bon Iver and you know what I'm talking about, then you know exactly what this guy's voice is like. But he's always singing in his head voice. He's like that kind of guy. But all these artists are on this album, but it's still a theatrical album. And listeners out there, some of you are more old school musical theater people. And I want to encourage you to listen to this album as sort of a primer. Like, this is sort of like, this is how you're going to get into the world of Hadestown. So when you go to see it on Broadway, you'll really be able to enjoy it that much more because you'll see where it came from and where the vision of how they got to this place 8 years later. And it's all based on this woman in Vermont who writes these indie pop songs, but they're theatrical and they're really catchy and it's well orchestrated. They're acting in this piece. And it's, like I said, it's contemporary. Hades is really kind of like almost like a Trump character. It's yet nicer and more charming a little bit, but he wants to build a wall in Hades to convince the people that that's what they want, that they want to keep all the other people out so they can stay happy and safe there. And that's an interesting theme there. And it's just, listen to the album, read the synopsis and then listen to it again. I know it seems like a lot of work, but
it's worth it. You have to digest
the music because it's such fascinating music. And then you read the plot and you think, oh my gosh, this is really, there's storytelling going on here. So then you go back and listen to it and you really hear the theatricality and you can hear, I mean, obviously every time you hear something again, you hear more out of it. I'm very, very excited about this Hadestown coming to Broadway. And for your primer for this, you might as well go check out Anais Mitchell's Hadestown, her concept recording, it's a pop album that she released, and I would go listen to that.
Awesome.
And enjoy. There's also a live recording of the performance, I think was at the New York Theater Workshop, where they recorded it live and released some tracks on Spotify. But listen to her album, because that's, okay, you just, and it's got great artists on it. I mean, it's fantastically done, but it's definitely worth a listen, and it's definitely different from anything we've heard before. And I'm excited about it.
I am so excited. I missed it when it was off Broadway.
Same.
Did you? No, I'm sorry. I was going to say you had a student in it, but
one of my favorite things earlier is in it, Shayna Taub.
Yes.
She's in it. So, like, not only does she write shows, but she's performing. So it's those kinds of artists, these sort of, I want to say, off Broadway kind mm-hmm. of, you know, that's the feel of this show. And that's becoming more popular on Broadway, the Come From Away type piece.
Yes.
You know, Dear Evan Hansen, you might even say, even though it's big and all that, but it's still at its core, sort of like an off Broadway piece,
yeah.
I would
yeah.
say. And I think this is going to be very, very similar, but I think audiences are ready for this. So I'll be very curious.
I'm so excited to see it now. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Fun. Well, I've got work to do then.
Yeah, you do. Wild Party in Hadestown.
I have
Shade.
to the Wild Party.
All right,
Wait, hold on. The Wild Party he did, is that the one that was on the Tonys? Or is that Andrew Lippa's?
I feel like you're joking with me right now, because if you don't know that Andrew Lippa's was not on the Tonys, because his was off Broadway, and Lacuse's was on the Tonys in 2000
yeah.
because it was on Broadway, we have a problem.
Wait a minute, hold on. That's with Toni
Collette.
No, Toni Collette.
I hate Shut up.
No,
what's your favorite
serious.
Thing? It's yes, of course, Collette. The Mandy Patinkin, Toni Collette.
How does the opening number go?
Tanya Pinkins.
How does the opening number go?
All right, so the one, you're messing with me. Are you messing
no,
with
no,
me?
No, because I'm going to tell you a
so
story.
So the first one, so Lippa's, it's the same, so it's based
we
on the 1920s.
We're having a wild,
no, the opening
wild
is,
party.
Yes, but the real opening line is, Lacusa, Queenie was a blonde, and her age stood still, and she danced twice a day in the vaudeville. And then, no, sorry, that's Lippa. Lacusa. Queenie was a blonde and her age stood still and she danced twice a day in the vaudeville. Mm, that's a melody.
Oh, okay.
Queenie was a blonde and her age stood still.
But is the Lacusa?
She was having
is that Lacusa?
Wild, no, that's Lippa.
What was the one where she's like, like, we are having a wild, wild party. Baby, where's the ice?
No. That's Lacusa. That's okay. Baby, where's the ice? Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to my party. Glad you like this. Dun, 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 dun. Who the hell invited this? Yeah, of course. Queenie's up for dancing. Queenie's new. Who the hell invited you? That's yeah. so good.
Yeah, okay.
You're here because you love me. Don't I know it? Yes, I do. Come on.
Why
so
do
good.
I need to listen to it? You're doing the whole show for me
oh,
right
guys,
now.
Guys, I just got so excited. And yes, we are have. I was lying before this. Let's accuse
it. I did it. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I know.
So you're just trying to. All right. What's your favorite thing?
We're having a wild party.
Don't make fun of it.
I'm not making fun of it. I was singing. I was expressing myself artistically, and apparently that can't happen in a theater. Welcome to the theater, Miss Bacall.
Places Miss Bacall.
Places Miss Bacall. Fine. What was the coffee she did? High Point that we used to make fun of.
Oh my gosh.
High Point.
She gets into like a limo, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, I always drink this coffee. It was.
Like, no, you don't, yeah, you liar.
In the limo?
You smell like Folgers. Well, my favorite thing, actually, is the total opposite of Hadestown, but it's thematic.
Mm.
While your show talks about Hades, mine talks about heaven. Well, Kevin.
I'll see what you did there.
I am shocked at how many major musicals are out there that I probably actually have never seen.
Oh, I thought you were going to say listen to, because there's some major ones that I've actually never heard either, that I'm embarrassed to say that I've never listened all the way through.
Mine's a little campy, but it's gonna lead to what we're going to talk about. I had never seen Nonsense. And it's not my favorite thing.
I've never seen it
okay,
before.
Okay, so for our listeners, if you've never seen Nonsense, the show was filmed in the early 90s With
Rue McClanahan
and Christine Toy Johnson, who
Christine
we work with.
Was in it? Oh my God!
Who we work with? She's one
she's
of the
on
nuns.
The national tour of Come From Away right now.
She's one of the nuns in it.
She's amazing.
So I was on YouTube and I watched all of it a couple of nights ago just to see like what goes on. It's fun. It's just fun. It's like silly
fun.
Innocent fun. Well, Kevin, we've watched this together. And Nonsense, Nonsense, the musical is not my favorite thing, but Nonsense, the TV pilot, is my favorite thing. So
yes, we watched it together.
We
Robin
did watch it together. You know that. So so this is on YouTube, my friends. Dan Goggin, I hope that's how you pronounce his name.
Goggin? I don't know.
Dan, Goggin. I'm so sorry. Well, anyway, Dan's got more money than all of us, so he can call himself whatever he wants. As you know, he created the Nonsense franchise, and it really is a franchise. And it's so interesting to think about how this show came to be. It started off as a tiny little thing. It started off as a greeting card. It was a greeting card. It was he made these greeting cards that had like nuns on them saying witty phrases that somehow tied into parochial schools and stuff like that. And then he did a tiny show at the Duplex that ended up running like 38 weeks, and then it became the second longest running off Broadway show. In history.
He wrote the book, music, lyrics.
Did everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did everything. This was 1985. So anyway, as you know, Nonsense...
85, you said.
Yeah, 85. Nonsense, as you know, is a staple of community theaters.
Never been on Broadway.
Never been on Broadway. Nor should it be on Broadway. It's an intimate show. And it was so successful, there were like 90 million sequels. There was like Nonsense Part 2, Nonsense Jamboree.
The
Nonsense,
men one, Amen.
Meshuggah Nun.
No way.
Yeah, there's one where
that's funny.
There's one where like they're on a cruise and the cruise is doing Fiddler on the Roof and they get sick and so the nuns have to do Fiddler on the Roof or something
it's
like
very
that.
Very much in this like Marvelous Wondrettes, I feel like has come out of that sort of vein and you know those shows that are done in communities all over the country.
Well, it's very silly. It's very very silly and it's grossed in. Can you believe this? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's grossed over $500 million.
Wait, I'm sorry.
It's grossed
$500 million.
Yeah. It started once again. So Nonsense is not my favorite thing. This is my favorite year. But like I was saying, in helping with the franchise, they decided to see if they could turn it into a TV show at one point, a TV series. And they made a pilot. Unfortunately, I don't think the show was picked up by any network or what's it called? Like a provider,
or
an app.
Or like Netflix.
One of those things. Or a streaming service. Distributor, but I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin and I sat down and we watched this pilot. And it's epic.
It's for fun.
First of all, it features a lot of our former guests. Let me. May I read the cast?
Do it.
The Reverend Mother is played by Mary Stout. Bambi Jones is Sister Mary Hubert. Tony Award winner Beth Level is Sister Robert
She's so
Ann,
funny, guys.
Who's doing this like Brooklyn accent.
She is so freaking funny.
Which is the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life.
And different from anything you've seen her do. Because she's not like, it's not like Beth Level in Drowsy or Beth Level in Prom. It's just Beth.
It's doing something. You're like, I've never seen this before.
Yep.
Phyllis from The Office plays Sister Julia, Child of God. Which I love. Karen Ziemba's in it. Dee Hody's in it. Chris Sieber and Jeff Blumenkrantz are like brothers that live near the monastery. And of course.
Playing the man,
playing the saint. the patron saint.
That's right.
Is Leroy Reams in drag. if you have never seen this, all you've got to do is type in on YouTube, Nonsense Pilot. If you know the Nonsense, here's the thing. After I watched Nonsense, the full production, I got many more of the jokes that was in the pilot.
They're sort of inside jokes, but long-running jokes that they always
do. I see. So if you get a chance, it's Nonsense Pilot. The channel on YouTube is very simple. It's Nonsense TV.
Brilliant.
It's fun. It's just fun. And in the pilot episode, the nuns are trying to do a show called Hoboken Has Talent, which is a local variety show competition, and hopefully they'll win the $100,000 grand prize. So take a look at Nonsense TV pilot. Not Nonsense the. I mean, you can watch Nonsense the original if you want, but the Nonsense TV pilot is pretty damn good.
It's pretty silly and have fun.
Oh, have so much fun!
Good
one. And watch my personal favorite. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Watch for the asides.
Yes.
Watch for the asides. Where the characters turn to the camera
And direct address the camera.
Direct address.
Direct address. Those are the best ones. Those are the funniest ones. Right. And enjoy the camp because they're all theatrical actors. They're all stage actors. And so it's very, everything's a little big, but in the best way.
In a good way. I think.
Yes. I'm not going to lie about it. I mean, it's stage actors that are comedians. They're all comedians from the stage that are on film. So it's like.
This is going to sound like an insult, and I mean to sound like an insult. I don't think the direction Tone It Down was ever given.
No, definitely.
So, get ready. It's and once again, and I have to thank one of our avid listeners, David Grosha, who was the one who told me there was even a pilot on television, and I had no idea. So anyway, take a look at it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, enjoy and listen to Hadestown.
You're going to go to heaven and hell this week.
Nice.
Enjoy it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.